We don't know what the goal is at the end, and that makes us not know what to do when decisions come in front of us.
You're listening to the Dare to Be Different podcast, a podcast for people who want to live an extraordinary life. On this week's episode, Joe and Ed talk about what is your what. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Dare to Be Different podcast. We are going virtual today. The Ed Newell is in his stark white recording studio there, hanging out with me today. Man, that is the whitest background I've ever seen, Ed.
Well, you know, you go full black. I go full white. It's kind of like the angel and demon. We're going for that.
Is that what it is? So Joe on one shoulder, Ed on the other sort of thing. Yeah.
So I'm in the light and you're in the dark.
Oh, gotcha. Well, I do have some like backlit, you know, and I think I have a little lamp that the people that are watching this online, they can actually see a little bit of decor on our side here.
I'll try and spruce up my white walls. I at least need a sign or something right there.
I think you should put like a plant, like just a single plant back there or something. But yeah, there you go. Perfect.
I'll just hold this the whole time.
Yes. Or just get like a little mini shelf that you put on the wall right behind you.
Yeah, I can do that. Maybe I'll get a big Dare to Be Different sign.
Oh, nice. I'm sure somebody will be, trust me, knowing Nicholas, it will be on your door in 2 days. So,
yeah. Hey, if your office is paying for it, you guys can put whatever you want right here.
That's it, huh? Oh, yeah. You're selling licensing on your wall. That's great. So everybody, welcome to the podcast. We're so glad you're here. If you are a first-time listener, for the next 3 minutes, Ed and I are just going to chit-chat because that's what we do. We have a good time talking to each other. And then we're actually going to talk about some things that will make your life extraordinary, because that's what the Dare to Be Different podcast is all about, is living an extraordinary life. And we actually use 5 values that we've come up with that help us point to that extraordinary life. And they are honest, passionate, adventurous, grateful, and healthy. So, and if you are here, they have a bunch of shots here of me sitting in the studio. You will see that I have those written down everywhere in the studio so that I don't forget them and that they are always in my face. So, Ed, thanks for being on with me here virtually, you know, from the undisclosed stark white bunker of your studio.
You know what? We recently just got some work done at the house, and I've never seen this before, but so going up from my basement, we actually have a sliding barn door there now,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Instead of an actual swing out door. And it's because we have an island there and some chairs, and the door would swing out and hit it and everything else. And so now you have a sliding door to go down in the basement.
And barn doors are so in right now.
They're very, yes. Very in. It's just the style. It's not a wooden, it looks like this. I mean, it looks like that, but it's just a sliding door. And so it really feels like I'm going into my lair. And I love it because it's like I'm Batman. I just slide this door out of the way and then I come down. But yeah.
you need to have it motorized and a little button underneath where you just hit a button and it's like psh, and it just opens, like a little bit of fog comes out.
That's a fantastic idea.
There you go.
I will make that happen. Yes. Yeah.
So, as you probably know, I have been working with, you know, FlexScreen went crazy over the last couple of months, and I've been working at our manufacturing plant trying to make some big changes to keep up, you know, to gain capacity so that we can keep up with all the orders we've been getting in.
Yeah.
But last weekend, my wife, so we've been working Saturdays and, you know, just, you know, doing what you have to do when you have a growing business. So my wife came and she rescued me on Saturday. So the shift was supposed to be done at 3. She got there about 1:30 and she's like, go get in the car. She's like, I brought your bathing suit and we're going kayaking. Right. So we go kayaking. It was a lot of fun, but you can only kayak for so long. We were on a lake. And so we got out and we're like, what do we do now? Like our kids weren't there. They were staying over a friend's house. Like we had nothing to do. And she's like, let's just take a drive. So we started driving with absolutely no destination at all. Have you ever done that before?
I have, but it's been a while. It's like, been a while.
Like, not even a north, south, east, west. Like, it was just start driving. It was the most uncomfortable thing I think I have done in the in the last couple months. And I know it was, and when I say it was uncomfortable, it was relaxing. You know, Alicia and I got to hang out and just talk and, you know, spend a couple hours. And I have to tell you, for people that have children and you're married and you have children, having some alone time with your spouse is so important. You know, remembering what it means to be married, because, you know, as we're rapidly approaching a time where our kids are going to move out, you know, it's going to be obvious that we better like each other, because we have a long time, because, you know, your kids are a buffer, right? Your kids are a buffer in there. And so it was great just to connect and just chit chat and be with her. But not having a destination, not knowing where you're going, is just, oh my goodness, it just kind of like sat on my chest a little bit. It was so weird.
Well, I'm similar. I'm very, very similar. But so much so that, you know, every other time in my life, I know where my destination is when I'm getting into the car. Mm-hmm. Even if I know where it's at, I put it in my GPS.
Yep.
Because I want to be sure that I'm getting there as quickly and efficiently as possible. And my GPS is going to be able to tell me that if there's something in the way or not up ahead. And so I'm so wired to know where I'm going. I said I did it a while ago because I hate it. I would not want to ever get in the car without really having a destination. That just wouldn't be me.
Yeah, and it kind of struck me because we've had this topic that we started last week. Alicia and I started talking about reinventing yourself and the steps to, you know, kind of evaluating your life and then reinventing yourself. And last week we talked about, you know, essentially taking an inventory of what you have. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, what are your strengths and weaknesses? What are the people around you? What do you have? You know, what do you have in your hands? Like, what, you know, I could want to reinvent myself as a brain surgeon, but I don't have the education to do that, right? So it's almost an unrealistic expectation that I would reinvent myself as a brain surgeon, right?
Right.
So, you know, what do you have? What's the good? What's the bad? All of those types of things. And but then this week we're going to talk about the what. So we know what we have. Now we're going to talk about what are we doing? Like, what is the reinvention that we're going to do? And I had this revelation, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, that so many of us are in life are going through the motions of driving around without having a destination in mind. We're driving, we're in the car, right? And we're just going. You know what I mean? We're just kind of, you know, we get to a stoplight, we kind of go, oh, left, right, straight, who cares? Just go. And that's what we did last weekend. Alicia and I was like, hey, we're at a stoplight. Which direction are we going to go? Oh, left. Okay, let's go left. You know?
Yeah.
And but that's not a good way to live life. And I really think that a lot of us are living just like that. We don't know what the goal is at the end, and that makes us not know what to do when decisions come in front of us. We're just kind of going with the flow.
And it's funny because you and I talk about how doing something, like actually going for a drive without anywhere to go, would drive us crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But far more often, people live our lives with no direction, and they live their life really reactionary and just take life as it comes and not really a plan. And then when things get really out of control, you're in a place of chaos. You're stuck. You're not really sure how to get out of the problems you're facing. And the way to really be able to handle those problems that you can't really ever foresee is to be prepared, is to have a destination, is to know where you're going in life. And then when things come at you, maybe, I don't know, to keep with this driving analogy, if you know where you're heading, if all of a sudden a road's closed, you can find another way to get to your destination.
Yeah, because, you detour around. Yep,
right.
That's, yep.
And you're going to have a GPS system. There's going to be something in your brain that's literally going to rewire you to achieve the goal that you're trying to achieve, even if you face an obstacle along the way.
Yeah, and this is not being not adventurous. You know what I mean? Like, so,
right.
You know, one of our values that we talk about is being adventurous. And going out and having no destination on a Saturday drive is adventurous. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. That's not what we're talking about. And you can have an adventurous goal for your life where you say, hey, I'm going to, you know what I mean? I'm going to live life and do as many things as I possibly can, maybe things that I haven't even thought of yet. But that is actually part of the direction. That's part of the destination that you want to spell out. It's not being, you said it exactly the way that I wish I could have formulated in my head. Like we live life reactionary so often. You know, something happens to us and we fight fires throughout our entire life instead of having a direction that we're going.
That's really good. And you're definitely right that this isn't, taking away from the adventurous side of things. You know, you can live your life with a standard of adventure that you want to pursue in your life. But I think when you have direction about where you're going in life and you know where you want to go, I actually think it opens the door to be adventurous. When if you're living your life pretty aimlessly, you might think you're living your life adventurously, but it's a mirage. You're going to end up going down a path that you really don't want to go down. But if you know the path you're on in life, if you know where you want to go, I think it enables you to make adventurous decisions along the way, knowing the final destination is still ahead.
That's so good. That's really, really good. So I don't have a magic, a magic bullet for people to figure out where they're going in life, magic roadmap. But I have some questions that might help us formulate the what. And keep in mind, next week we're going to talk about the why. So we're going to talk about, our passions and, a purpose for our lives and things like that. This is not what this is. This is just the what. This is where we want to go. It's not the why we want to get there. So again, separate things. Now again, okay. they are entwined together. And all of this is, all three of these, what do you have, where do you want to go, and why do you want to get there? Those three things are definitely all entwined together, but today we're just talking about the what.
Okay.
So the first question, and this seems so obvious, but where do you want to be in the next 1, 5, or 10 years? It seems like the obvious question where you're going, hey, where do I want to go, right? But how many people actually think about that?
That is huge. You're exactly right. I'm sure. Yeah. If you're listening to this, maybe if you're listening to this, if you're the type of person that is interested in this podcast, you have asked yourself that question. But if you haven't, what is preventing you from sitting down and actually thinking through that? What is preventing you from actually asking that question? And you might say, well, I don't know the answer. Well, the process of determining your what and the process of determining your why, which we'll talk about in another episode, and even the process of reinventing yourself altogether, it's a process. It takes time. You have to spend the time actually thinking about it. And I think that's part of the problem is when you're living your life so reactionary, when you're living your life just come as you are, you actually are never taking the time to pause. And a few weeks ago, we talked about pause and reflecting, but not even just reflecting, but pausing and saying, okay, well, where am I actually heading? And in order to do that, it means you have to stop. You have to stop what you're doing. And on a practical level, that could be really helpful to many of you because it could maybe just pause your rat race of life that you just continue to run and continue to spin in, where then you can ask yourself, honestly, a truly profound question, where do I want to be? 1 year, 5 years, whatever the time period.
You know what's funny is, if you go on a professional interview, you're going to be, working in a professional type of atmosphere where goals are important. That's a question that comes up. Where do you see yourself in 1 year, three years, 5 years, 10 years? What do you want to do with your professional life? And a lot of times professionally, we can answer this, but that's like this much, and I'm holding my fingers an inch apart if you're listening to the podcast, that's this much of life. You know, how much more important is it to talk about that when it comes to your family goals and your relationship goals and your health goals and all of those types of things? Where do I want to be in the next 1, 5, and 10 years? Then I have a follow-up question, and this one hurts. Where will I be in the next 1, 5, or 10 years if I continue doing what I'm doing today?
Mm.
That's a big one too, because if you say, hey, this is where I want to go, but if I continue down this path, this is where I'm going to go. Again, going back to the car analogy, if I keep driving straight, where am I going to end up? Well, it's pretty easy to tell. You pull out a map, pull out your GPS. If you keep going straight on this path, this is where you're going to be.
Yeah.
Recently, I
do ask myself this question. Not super regularly. And again, you know, as we do this podcast, I don't think Joe and I are asking ourselves this question every day, you know,
no.
But I think every 6 months is maybe a good time to kind of just maybe reevaluate. And you could even ask this question related to different areas of your life in different seasons, kind of looking at these as 1A and 1B questions, right? Mm-hmm. They go hand in hand. But recently, you know, I was asking this question related to my health. That tends to be a pretty popular example that you and I can relate on. And I'm jumping a little bit ahead because I'm going to give you some why attached to this. But I realize that my son is 3. And when he gets into high school, when he, you know, hits 13, so 10 years from now to roughly 18. So in 10 years from now to 15 years from now, I'll be 42 to 47.
Old, ancient,
dead, basically. I'll be between the ages of 42 and 47 when my son is 13 to 18. And I had this thing that's like, man, if he's playing sports, I want to be able to keep up with him. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to keep up with him if he wants to play basketball, if he wants to go throw the football around and run routes or do something, if he wants to train, I want to be able to keep up with him in my 40s when he's a teenager. And I know some guys in that age range that can do that with their sons. The majority of men, the majority of people in that age range are probably hedging to be overweight. And they're the type of, and I'm not trying to be super critical of these dads either, because I don't think it's bad. But I don't think it's fair to point fingers at people either. Everyone's on a journey. But it's so much easier to be the dad standing on the sidelines telling your son what to do than be the dad that can actually show your son what to do, because you are physically capable of doing it. And I just had this thing in my soul that says, okay, right now I have some things I want to get better in my health. I've had health goals for the last 10 years. Now my why, which again is a future podcast, happens to be my son. But the what I know is that when I'm 42 to 47, I want to be able to keep up with a teenager. That is just the pure what factor. I want to be able to keep up with a teenager. So for me, I'm looking at this saying, okay, I might have these health goals, and it might be really easy to say I'm not getting where I want day in and day out. And maybe it's easy to be upset with how slow sometimes getting healthy can take.
Right.
But I extended this goal out actually pretty far. So I got a decade to get into the shape that I really want to go. And now I have to break that down right into some smaller goals.
Right.
But for me, I was asking you that I was asking those very two questions you said. Where do I want to be in 10 years? And if I do nothing, where am I going to be in 10 years? And I have this picture in my mind of two different fathers. The father that's going to stand on the sideline, that's a little overweight, that can be able to yell and point and pull up a YouTube video of what he's supposed to do, or a father that's going to be able to actually show his son what he's supposed to do. And that's what I want to be.
That's so good. Alicia and I just went through a financial decision that we made. And what we're not in the housing market. We're doing really well with paying extra on our house and stuff like that. But we have a goal of being completely debt free. So no mortgage, no cars, anything like that. And a house came up on Facebook Marketplace in an area that actually not far from my office. So it's the next school district over, not far to move and stuff. But it is a smaller house, less expensive, but it ticks off a bunch of other boxes for us, right? And so typically when somebody has a business and it starts going well, you upgrade, you get your, you know, your next biggest McMansion and you go bigger and bigger and stuff like that. And we made the decision to put an offer in on a house, on a smaller house, a less expensive house. Hasn't been accepted yet, but maybe by the time this gets out, maybe it will have. But because we have a goal of being debt-free in the next 5 years.
Right.
So now, again, if we have our existing house, we might get there, but it more than likely it's going to take us 7, 8, 9 years, maybe even longer. But, you know, for us to get into a less expensive house, man, is it fast forward? I mean, it's like going from walking to the destination to taking a helicopter. You know what I mean? By us making this decision. And that goal that we have, it really helped for us to dictate what our new move is. Like, hey, there's a decision in front of us. And we put it through this filter of this is where we want to be. And it just became so easy to make that decision, you know, because we had this conversation ahead of time about our finances. You know, we knew where we were going, where we want to be with our finances. So
that's huge. That's a really big decision. And I think, you know, this is probably going to be a common theme. When you begin to really think about the things that you want to be in a certain time frame, it's going to require you to step out and do some pretty radical changes or some radical steps. And, you know, in order to be the person you want to be, you're going to have to do things that not everyone is willing to do. And most likely, if you have a goal in mind, it's going to require you to take some extreme steps, take some steps that are out of the ordinary, right? Living an extraordinary life. That's what we're talking about,
right?
That's
exactly it.
And so you got to do some things that just aren't natural to the rest of the world, and they're not going to be natural to you. But I think the things that separate people that would maybe feel like they're a little bit more unsuccessful versus people that feel they're successful is just going to be how consistent you are at making those extraordinary decisions day in and day out.
Yep. So the next question, and this kind of goes along with it, but this is a little bit of a different, you know, a little bit of a different take. What don't you want in your life? Sometimes instead of looking about what you want in your life, looking at what you don't want actually helps you to understand what you do want. So
right.
I don't want this type of relationship that my parents had. You know what I mean? Again, so maybe it's a toxic relationship.
Sure.
Maybe it's an abusive relationship. Maybe it's just not a loving relationship. I don't want that, right?
Yep.
Which then you can turn that around as you're thinking through this and go, okay, well, then that means that I want a spouse that adores me. I want a spouse that honors me. I want a spouse that respects me. I want to respect, you know, follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want the pressure of being in debt, right? Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's great. So that means that I want to be debt-free. I want to have my house paid off. I want to, you know, I don't want to be the dad who can't, you know, takes 10 steps with his son and has to stand over wheezing, you know, every time he wants to go out and play tag football.
Mm-hmm.
So again, looking at what you don't want a lot of times can lead you into that positive thing that you do want in your life. Make sense?
So good. I have a history of diabetes that runs on my father's side, on the male side of my family. And I know that if I don't take on extraordinary steps with my health, that's going to be me. I don't want that.
Right.
And so I know to avoid it. I really want a Tesla, but I do not want the car payment. And I do want to be maxing out my contributions to my Roth IRA. And so, you know, I freaking want a Tesla really bad. I also don't want to be wasting money on arguably one of the worst financial investments you can have, and instead put my money in one of the best financial investments I can have.
Yeah, and again, those types of, these are all internal dialogue, right? This isn't something that you have to share with, no, you can. You can share it with your friends. You should talk to your spouse and things like that.
Yeah.
But this isn't something that you have to, you know, these are internal decisions that you make that help guide you through your life. So again, as you're going back and forth, you need to pick out which of those is your priority and say, that's what I want, which then will help you make the decision on should I buy a Tesla or should I put money into my Roth IRA.
And I might push back on that a little bit. It's definitely an internal dialogue, but I think specifically since we both used some examples of money, I think money is something that we don't talk about with each other far enough. And there, you know, there's some taboo things like, you know, don't ask someone what their salary is, whatever. I think there's probably some wisdom around that. But I think it is wise to ask a friend, hey, how do you set up your budget? And mm-hmm. and how much are you saving every month? And how much are you putting towards this? And it, I think it's wise to have those conversations and put yourself around people that are making decisions that you want to make. You know, it's the same way about if you be around healthy people, you're going to likely make healthier decisions. So get around some financially healthy people that are making financially healthy decisions and then talk about it. Don't just, you know, let them continue to be good financially and you not. If you got questions, ask them. If you need help, ask them and talk about it openly because it'll challenge you and help you to see what you do want.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm not saying we shouldn't get advice or have somebody that helps us out through this journey. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that these are internal questions that you have to answer.
Yeah.
And you have to own them. You know, once you've made them. So, we only have a couple more minutes, so I want to just kind of whip through a couple more questions that will help people get to these. What do you want people to say about you at your funeral? Again, man, I had to write, I had college writing what was my senior year in high school, and we had to do, one of our projects was to write your own eulogy. And we did them fun, you know what I mean? I think I said I was going to be President of the United States or something like that, you know what I mean? Like,
shocking,
but man,
that you saw yourself doing that as a high schooler, Joe.
I know, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
I think it was dictator, Altieri, not necessarily president, But what would it look like if you had to write your eulogy, if you were standing around? And again, that's kind of a morbid question, but man, do you want people to say that person was the most generous person that I knew? Wow, that person, they had great adventure, whatever those things are. You know, I could go to that person with advice, you know, for advice. What do you want people to say about you at your funeral? Next big question, what would you do if you weren't afraid of anything? Man, that's big. That's a big, big, big question, because if you can answer that, you know, if I had no fear of failing, what would I try? That will help you understand your what. Now, again, you might not go that big with whatever that question is, but maybe at least starts getting you thinking. These questions are just meant to get you thinking.
Yeah.
So, what would you do if today was your last day? Again, just another, just another nice internal question to ask, like, hey, if I had one day to live, you know, 1 month to live, 1 week to live, whatever the case may be, what would I do? Because that will help you align your priorities with I would spend it with my family. Oh, okay. Well, why aren't you spending time with your family now? Oh, maybe that's something that I want to put as a goal. Maybe that's part of my what is I want to be able to spend X amount of time with my family, because this question helped me to understand that that's what I would do if I had one day to live. Does it make sense?
Yeah, these are all helpful, and I think there's the theme with, I think, almost every question you've asked so far is it really is a pointed way to look into the future and then allow yourself to work backwards.
Exactly.
From that. And I think there's so much value in that, because sometimes I think it is a problem to say, okay, what is step one? What is step two? What is step three? But yeah, identifying, this is the theme, right? If we can identify that long-term what through some very pointed questions. And these are challenging. Man, writing your own eulogy, I've heard the idea. I've never gone through that as like a psychological exercise. But asking these very pointed questions can help you work backwards really successfully, I think.
Yeah, and the last question, as you're trying to think about what your what is what gets you so excited that you can't stop thinking about it? And again, most people don't think about that, but that's what life is. Like, months ago, I was talking to Jason Tost, a good friend of ours on the podcast, and he talked about, you know, your life being a book and, you know, you opening it up and you're writing these chapters, right? And, you know, I keep coming back to that. Every time I visualize my life, I see it as this book, and today I get to write a new page in that book, and I'm in the middle of a chapter that I've decided to write, you know, with my life. But man, What gets you so excited that you can't stop thinking about it? That's what your life should be. That's what the title of your book should be. You know, this thing that I was put on this earth to do that makes me lay in bed at night, not stressed about it, but so excited about it that I can't sleep. You know, what is that thing? And again, that's going to be different for everybody. And it might even be different for different stages of your life or different aspects of your life. But there's something in your life. There has to be something in your life. And if there isn't, man, try to find that thing. Experiment. Try to find it.
That's challenging for me personally in this current season. I have some things, some answers to that question that I've also had to come to grips that I'm not sure I can pursue in this season. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of my life ahead of me. And some of these very most personal aspirations of things that make me the most excited, I just haven't been able to pursue maybe in this season. But you know, the things I really am called to pursue in this season is to love my family well, love my children well. And so I've had to maybe set some of that aside in order, my personal things, in order to do things I can in the season. But I'm holding on to those things. And that's really good. I'm challenged to always think about, okay, when can I really take a step towards some of these things that make me excited?
Yeah. And some of those things, you know, even though, yes, seasons change, circumstances change, but if you still have that goal out there, it doesn't matter if you're going through Corona or whatever the case may be, you're still mentally preparing, maybe, you know, maybe physically preparing, maybe, you know, strategizing, maybe learning, whatever that case may be, to get to that end goal. So,
that's good.
So anyway, those are the questions I think, you know, as I'm going, and trust me, this was challenging for me even writing these down, kind of thinking about these and writing them down, because like I do a lot of self-reflection, you know, which is obvious. You know, this is why we do this podcast, is to help people live an extraordinary life. So I'm like, well, I better do that. You know, but even with me purposefully doing self-reflection, these are still tough questions.
Yeah.
To answer.
They are.
But if you do them, it'll be a huge step. If you take the time, answer these questions, and maybe answer them more than once, you know, to your point, every couple months, every 6 months, something like that. Pull this out and review this. Do a self-review. Am I still on that path, or has my path changed? Do I need to go a different direction? And help you to align your future decisions with the goals that you feel are important today. So
that's good.
Yeah. So anyway, next week, next podcast, we are going to talk about your why and your purpose. And I wrote a purpose statement, which is the first time I've ever done this. So if you have you know, started listening to this, and this is an interesting topic for you, next week we're going to talk about your why, and you're going to hear my purpose statement, which was a struggle to write. We're gonna actually help you write a purpose statement for your life. You know, what is your why, and how do you articulate that into words? But man, thank you so much, Ed, for talking through this today with us and the listeners. I hope that you guys, as listeners, got something out of this. I really, really, really feel passionately that, you know, having that pin in the map of your life that you're driving towards is going to be revolutionary to how you live your life. So I hope that you take this to heart. I hope that you keep listening. Go back and re-listen. Write some of these questions down. Come up with your own questions, but figure out where you're going so that you can live an extraordinary life. So until next week, thank you guys so much. Share this. Subscribe. Do all the things that you should be doing. We love you. We will catch up with you next week and live an awesome life. Talk to you soon.